Hello, I'm Veronica Sidner from Routledge Journals, and welcome to a Routledge Health and Social Care podcast. Today is September 26, 2013, and our guest is Dr. Perry Halkides, editor of Behavioral Medicine.
Hey, Veronica, how are you? I'm very happy to be here with you today. And let me start by telling you a little bit about myself. I'm a professor of applied psychology, public health, and medicine at New York University, where I have been since 1998, and I conduct work that looks at the interplay of substance use, mental health burden, and HIV risk, primarily in sexual minority populations. I've been very happy to be the editor-in-chief of Behavioral Medicine since January 2013, and I'm happy to be with you here today.
Thank you. So you're the new editor for the quarterly journal, Behavioral Medicine. Can you summarize the journal's aims and scope?
I'm happy to talk about the journal and its aims and scope, which is slightly revised over the course of the last year. Behavioral medicine is a burgeoning area of study. And what has become clear in a health and public health perspective is some of the most challenging problems we face with regard to issues of health in our country and globally stem from an interplay of complex relationships that exist between biological and medical processes, psychological processes, and social processes. This idea is rooted in the ideas of George Engel, who wrote a seminal article in 1977 describing the biopsychosocial model. The biopsychosocial model examines how different health conditions and health disparities are influenced by these three states and how to effectively intervene on health problems using approaches that address medical, biological, social, and psychological processes. So in the journal, what we're trying to do and what we're looking for in terms of submissions are articles that really have that perspective at their core. We're looking for intervention studies that focus on those issues. We're looking for longitudinal and cross-sectional studies. We're looking for qualitative studies. We're looking for any work that really encompasses this idea that health is more than just a biomedical condition. It is more than just about the transmission of pathogens, but actually a complex interplay of biological and medical with psychological and social and structural factors.
And what can you tell us about the submissions process?
The submission process is very easy, and we've tried to streamline the submissions process. The submission process goes on through the Scholar One system, and potential authors are asked to log in, create an account, and submit their article. We have developed a system by which we are trying to expedite the review of the articles. I work with a team of highly qualified associate editors who represent diversity on many domains, not only in terms of their disciplines, but also in terms of their gender, their race, and their sexual orientation. And we together, at first, assess the submissions and determine whether the submissions should move on to a full review. We're trying to do this out of respect to the author so that articles that may not be ready for publication receive a response as soon as possible after the submission process. If an article is then moved forward for review, the associate editor manages the whole process. The associate editor seeks reviewers for the article, and we currently ask authors also to submit suggested names of reviewers. And we are very, very vigilant about getting those reviews back as soon as possible. And our goal is to turn around the review of articles within a 1 or 2 month period, provide as much detailed feedback to the author about the article, and then try to move the article forward, either if it is a minor revision or a major revision, or an accept. The submission process is streamlined over the course of the last few months, and we have a much quicker turnaround and a much more thorough review process in the journal than perhaps had been evident before.
Behavioral medicine has a special issue publishing in 2014. What is the topic, and how did the idea for the special issue come about?
The topic deals with biopsychosocial challenges of older adults living with HIV, and this is an issue that is very near and dear to my heart. As many of you may know, by 2015, over 50% of individuals in the United States living with HIV or AIDS will be ages 50 and older. And this condition is manifesting because of the effective antiretroviral therapies that were first developed in 1996, individuals who are infected with HIV are living with a chronic condition that they're being able to manage. And two, we're seeing another phenomenon in the United States, which is older adults in their late 30s, in their 40s, in their 50s, in their 60s, becoming infected with HIV. So this is a growing segment of the population that's affected by HIV. Now, what's interesting is that there's a new generation of people who are aging in our country, the baby boomer generation, and the needs of this baby boomer generation are probably different from those of previous generations, and I think we're all grappling on how to best attend to the needs and how to best provide services to that generation. But within that generation are HIV-positive people, and we need to develop a knowledge base on what services are to be developed for them, what the needs of this population are. There are complex medical and psychological and social issues of aging and living with HIV. This issue came about because it's an area of study of my own that I've been undertaking for the last several years. But also in 2013, the American Psychological Association sponsored a symposium focused on biopsychosocial challenges of older adults living with HIV. And several of the articles that will constitute that special issue come out of that symposium. So we are looking at the needs of women. We're looking at HIV and aging in relation to disability. We're looking at the needs of HIV positive older gay men. We're looking at interventions using motivational interviewing versus telephone techniques. It's a very diverse set of articles that are trying to encompass a broad understanding of aging with HIV and trying to address some of the big questions people are facing in working with this population. So we're very excited about this issue, and we're hoping that it will be published by the middle of 2014.
You use social media to spread the word about your research, about special events that you're involved in, and your new book. Where can people reach you, and what do you currently have going on?
At 50 years old, I've learned to sort of manage social media much more effectively than I have perhaps in the past. So let me talk first about my new book, because it relates to what we were talking about in terms of the needs of older adults with HIV. I just finished a book that's going to be published this fall, and in fact, it will be available in 2 weeks. The name of the book is The AIDS Generation, Stories of Survival and Resilience, and it's being published by Oxford University Press. And this book takes the reader on a journey of 15 men who were first infected with HIV in the 1980s in a time of little hope, 15 gay men, and who have survived into now what is older adulthood, into their late 40s, 50s, and approaching 60s. And what the book is trying to do is several things. One, document the life histories of these men, delineate their strategies for survival, how they survived, and what they did to survive over the course of the last 30 years, especially prior to 1996, when there were limited options for containing this infection. And what I also try to do is take the reader on a journey where I interweave these men's stories with historical events over the course of the last 30 years, as well as the behavioral and biomedical and public health literature on HIV. So it's a very powerful work. Much of the book is the words of these men who I spent a great deal of time with over the course of the last 2 years. So that's my background to say I've been very active in using social media to spread the word about this particular book. I have a Facebook page for the book called The AIDS Generation that people can like. I can be followed on Twitter at Dr. DRPN Halkitis, Halkitis. And I tend to post something there at least once a day. I have a website, Perry N. Halkitis, that's one word, .com, where I'm also in the process of starting to write a blog. So I'm trying as many different options as possible to spread the word, not only about this book, but about behavioral medicine, about the other activities that I'm involved in through the use of social media, knowing that it's a very effective way to spread the message to people who may not be tied to more traditional modes of communication. So I think academics are smart to make use of social media because we reach a much larger audience.
Thank you. Let's finish with a reminder about how researchers can submit content to behavioral medicine and if there are specific topics of interest.
Researchers can submit their articles, their content, to behavioral medicine by going to our site and a link and setting up an account in the ScholarOne system and submitting articles through that system. It is very simple and clear system, and there are very clear directions that are provided at our at the Taylor and Francis website about the submission criteria for each of the articles. So I encourage those who are interested in submitting to behavioral medicine to look at our website, look at what the criteria are that were for submitting articles, and then proceed to submit articles if they believe that the work that they're doing resonates with the scope of the journal. I would say that articles, as I started at the beginning of the podcast, that really encompass a biopsychosocial framework is something that is extremely interesting. We should be, and we're looking for articles that cover health issues across the developmental spectrum from birth to the end of life. We're looking for articles that use either quantitative or qualitative methodologies. I'm particularly interested in issues of health and well-being of children and the roles that schools and communities can play in that regard. So I would encourage individuals who might not necessarily look at behavioral medicine, people who are doing work in educational settings like schools and high schools, to potentially look at our journal as a venue for submission. Issues of aging are extremely interesting. The aging population is a big part of the population in the United States. We are looking for work that goes on both domestically and globally, because our belief is that lessons learned in the United States certainly inform health issues globally, but lessons learned globally also help us address issues in the United States. So we're looking for articles that are diverse, not only in terms of geographic region, but in terms of population served. We're looking for articles that address health issues faced by people along the socioeconomic spectrum, with the belief being that we can all learn from the experiences of health issues and health interventions of various populations around the world.
Thank you very much, Dr. Halkides. It's been really great speaking with you. You can find the Routledge Journal Behavioral Medicine online at www.tnfonline.com/vbmd.
Thank you.